You're listening to Cairo News Radio Middays.
Welcome back to Cairo News Radio Middays. Jack Stein, Spike O'Neill, Stacy, Joe Ross.
Wow, what a friendly audience you have.
Host of the Bump and Stacy show, 10 to 2 with Michael Bumpus. Mr. Chill, Mr. Vibes, Mr. Good Vibes, yeah?
Yeah, no, he's very chill. Very chill.
Why doesn't Bumpus return my phone calls or my text messages or my emails or my, LinkedIn requests?
It's actually funny. No, that's so funny you say that. We talked about it. He doesn't like you.
There's a reason.
No. He's big on tee times. He is on his way to one right now.
Right.
Big golfer.
Okay. Because I thought maybe Bumpus and I could be friends.
Yeah.
But I guess not.
Take up caddying.
Yeah. Go golfing with him.
I'd show up in like a 1920s caddy outfit. Hey, Michael Bumpus, how you doing?
movie.
It's very like Bagger Vance vibes. <Nice. laughs>
So, Stacy, quick question, unrelated to anything we're going to talk about. Are you a pronouns in bio kind of person? Do you have pronouns in your email?
I don't. Yeah. I have nothing wrong with it. I just don't.
Okay, I was just stalking your Twitter. You don't have them on your Twitter either. You don't have bio. You don't have pronouns anywhere, right?
Yeah, I never update anything. I think my bio is the same as it's been for like 12 years.
Yeah, so I think it says a winner of the
Bull Lake Elementary School stock market contest.
Wow.
Yeah, I got first place, and I did such a good job that they used my project as an example for other classes.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I didn't have a lot of friends.
For people who don't know, pronouns in bio is a phrase that's kind of thrown around on the internet, in particular Twitter, to mock people who put their pronouns, meaning he, his, her, hers, in their bio because people think that it's an indicator of somebody who's this woke leftist out there who wants to trans your kids. And so more and more there has been this attempt to kind of mock or malign that idea. I think Ted Cruz did it. It was super cringy when he got up at the RNC and he said, "My pronouns are kiss my ass," and everyone went, "Ha ha 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 ha."
Didn't Lauren Boebert say, "My pronouns are free and dumb"?
Yeah.
Which is funny because the second part is dumb.
So spot on.
D-U-M. Right. D-U-M. Wow. I almost just did it to myself.
So there were these two college students at a Christian college, and they decided they were going to streamline their emails, and they were going to promote inclusivity. Small Christian college. And they are not trans individuals, and so they just use she, her, he, him. University asked them to remove the pronouns from their signatures to align with an institutional policy introduced last fall. And these two said, we don't really want to do that. We're not trying to virtue signal or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense. Also, if you look at their names, I can see why they would do that because their
names
are...
It's like Jordan or kind of like an androgynous.
Well, yeah. Reagan, R-A-E-G-E-N.
Oh, I would never know.
Yeah.
I
right?
wouldn't be
right.
sure.
The other one is
right.
Shay, S-H-U-A.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right. I wouldn't know whether
Seriously?
That was a man or
I don't
or
know.
Woman.
Right. And I could not, to be honest with you, I could not tell you the difference between the two until they clarified it later in the article. But so they just said, no, we're not going to do that. These are Christian kids. They love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're trying to make sure that there is a streamlined process to the email so people know who they're talking to. And so the university decided to fire them as a result of that, citing the thing that they had written before. I ask you this question, Stacy Joe Ross, is this crossing the line? Because apparently more than 700 alumni wrote an email saying, don't fire those kids just for clarifying their pronouns. Are you guys nuts? But I guess this is the society we live in now, right?
I know. I guess as a presumably private religious school, it's like, well, you can do what you want to do. It is easier to kind of do things your own way when you are a private institution. But I think that this is an overreach, and I think it's an overreaction. And I also think, in general... when you're looking at from these two kids' point of view, part of why they're doing it is a clarification thing, which, like, if you work in news, you would do all the time anyways. Like, okay, what's the proper way to address this person or whatever? Does this person go by Miss or Mrs.? I understand that pronouns are included for to be more inclusive as well, outside of just like grammatical things. It just feels like such an overreaction and such a stretch. And I also, on the topic of it, I think two things. One, I don't understand why it matters to anyone else. Like, I really don't know why someone gets upset if someone else has pronouns in their bio when it does nothing to you. It doesn't affect you at all, especially if this is a stranger you don't know and you're not going to be talking to them or addressing them anyways. Secondly, I think people see any kind of compassion sometimes as softness, which is looked down upon. And the third thing, and I know I said two things, but the third thing, I think that sometimes with this anger, and in general with anger about like the woke left, there is a frustration, fear, and kind of preemptive like defensiveness that that actually comes with, because I think that where that comes from isn't always this stance of I hate trans people.
Right.
It comes from a stance of I don't want to be told how to address people. In which case, you know, you get into these philosophical questions about like, okay, you know, like you can make that choice about how you want to address someone. But I think that what is really a philosophical argument about, you know, what do you have the right to tell me to do, instead turns into hate, and it doesn't need to.
I will say this, Stacey. I was invited to speak at one point in time at a college, and I went, this is years and years, it's going to be 5 or 6 years ago. And I go and I'm talking to a group of kids about politics and media. It's a nice group of kids. It's an evening kind of, these kids are volunteering to show up to watch me speak kind of thing. It wasn't assigned to them. That it was just asked by a particular group to come. And we're in this, like, we're in this lecture hall, and I get up and I'm going to talk about media and politics. And I start talking, and this larger woman in the almost close to the front row, I'm in the middle of a sentence. I've just started my little spiel, and she goes, "What are your pronouns?" Loud, right? And I go, I will take. I didn't catch it because it was so startling. I thought it was just someone. And I go, I'll take questions at the end of what I'm about to say. And so I continue going through my little thing, and then another person goes, "What are your pronouns?" They didn't care about what I was saying.
Yeah,
it was a power move at that point in time. So I tried to ignore it. I tried to move past it. And then the third person goes, "What are your pronouns?" And then they started snapping. They started doing the thing with their fingers when someone is doing. And I go, "I'm being bullied now. This is well beyond what is normal discourse for adults to have, right? This is obnoxious." Now, again, it's on a college campus, but at the same time, that I think that is what people are resistant to, is the power play mechanism of it when they do perceive it to be that way, right?
Yes, I think so. I think so, too. And there is, again, I am not excusing anything from anyone. I just think that oftentimes when people think of things that they are not, they imagine this extreme version. So you imagine that you're being attacked for, I don't know, your belief. Like, it's just something where I don't excuse it, and I think that it's overreactionary, and I think that it comes from a place of hate. But I think that when people talk about feeling like, because that was them, presumably because you were coming in from like this GOP perspective, right? Was that conservative perspective? Yeah, so they were like pushing back.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that's clearly like hostile and not a welcoming or mature environment.
Well, Stacey, you said too, part of that dynamic is being defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And this push is, excuse me, this was a Christian college.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Christian colleges around the country feel like they need to be defensive against the progressives and leftist ideology, the woke, as you said. They come into this with on their heels.
Yeah. I just think there's so many other things that you could care about more than how someone wants to identify.
Yeah, that I think that's very, very true.
By the way, the 700 alumni signed their letter, "We, They." How about that, right? Nicely done. Yeah.
Stacey, you're as addicted to Twitter as I am. Have you noticed that Twitter has become more racist since Elon Musk bought it? Have you seen more racist memes, more bigotry?
I haven't. I haven't been nearly as active, though. Full disclosure, I haven't been nearly as active. And also, this is where our worlds highlight their difference. My Twitter is like almost entirely sports Twitter.
Right. Yeah. I was just perusing.
I feel like
your
my
Twitter.
Problems are so stupid when I leave. I'm like, God, okay, what are they going to do about nose tackle? Meanwhile, you guys are like, so there's this hate group. And
I was looking at Stacey's Twitter and it's like the Seahawks schedule and like.
And Vanderpump
like,
rules.
Yeah. It's like, I'm all for a home game on Thanksgiving. I think that's going to be great. But having an off day or a bye week this early in the season is rough stuff.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
I'm like Stacey's life is so much easier.
Let me tell you what, I am light as a feather when I leave this building.
So Stacey, there was this big thing on Twitter the other day because LeBron James' son, mm-hmm. Bronny, mm-hmm. somebody posted a picture of him going to prom. He's an 18-year-old kid, and he's a good-looking kid. He's clearly very athletically talented. And he posted a picture of him going to prom, and his date is a white woman, mm-hmm. right? The amount of racism that I saw underneath that post, it was startling. I had never seen that in old Twitter, but in new Twitter, it's different rules. The amount of kind of like race realism kind of thing mm-hmm. and it's surprisingly from not just white people, but also from black people saying, why is LeBron James letting his son date a white woman? It was really bizarre. I'd be curious to get your input on that, but you haven't seen Twitter change that much because you're posting about the Seahawks schedule.
I know.
I'm in like the seventh circle of hell in Twitter and politics.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, the comments on both sides of that are gross. And
right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's first of all, these are 19-year-olds, like yeah. the girl yeah. he went with is 19.
Yeah.
So whatever, you know, issues that we want to project on either side of that, let's not, because these are teenagers. But secondly, do you feel like that more comments and hate speech is being allowed and kind of getting through?
Yeah, for sure. It's not as pronounced as someone just dropping racial slurs,
yeah.
but the level of the racism that Twitter has now is a little bit more insidious. So people will post race realist articles underneath images that are fairly innocuous. So a picture of a couple of teenagers going to prom, which previously we would have been like, oh wow, how great is that?
Yeah.
We live in
good
a society.
For them. How fun.
Good for them. It's
love
gonna be
prom.
Fun. And now it's people posting articles about the racial differences in IQ between
oh,
white
neat.
People and black people.
Okay.
it's like, and you go, and I'm doom scrolling through this, just getting more and more depressed at the world, thinking there are people out there that are upset that there are two kids who are friends who are going to prom.
Right?
And they have to just download and discharge all of this. And for as much as Elon Musk likes to say that, oh, well, this is the, you know, this is a place for discourse and this is a place for people to talk about these issues. For every 5 to 6 posts of racism,
mm-hmm.
I saw one post of somebody pushing back against it. It is disproportionate on Twitter. Do I think that that's a problem that needs to be corrected? No, it's a cultural thing that needs to be corrected, right? People need to be polite and understand what kind of discourse is acceptable. But so one of the stats, someone was posting stats that was taken from a study that was done in South Africa in 1984.
During a cool, very, very great right. time to be very, in South yeah. Africa.
Pinnacle of open mindedness.
Very timely. And it was talking about
very integrated crowd.
Exactly. And they were talking about the IQ differences between white babies, black babies, and then interracial babies.
I question the IQ of someone who pulled that study
Amen.
30 years
yes.
later,
right.
but okay.
Yes. Right. But the thing about it is and then people are underneath that, the discourse has changed from, hey guy, you know, like source your source, like this is really bad. The discourse has gone from that to, why don't they do studies like this anymore? The woke academia won't let them do
They're
studies like
this
anymore.
What happened to eugenics? You know what
right.
I mean?
It has totally changed. So this is one of the things that when people were attempting to push back against it, it's not a discourse friendly medium. It's you're the woke Marxist leftist. Get out of here. We hate you. Kill yourself. It's a completely different environment. And so I find myself only using Twitter now to kind of, I guess, descend. I'm like Virgil, right?
Yeah.
I just descend into hell, and then I'm like investigating, and then I try to leave as fast as I can. It's rough.
I do find it interesting that whenever there are conversations about free speech, it's always like, how can you fit in more hateful speech? Like, that's the kind of free speech that people are passionate to defend. And it's like, do you ever think maybe your opinion's just like wrong?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you have, you're right. Freedom of speech. It's, you know, it's right there. It's a right that you have. It's often misunderstood, right? But it's just interesting when people use it to back up opinions that they're like, and I'm not talking about, oh, it's an unpopular opinion to, like, you have a right to be pro-life.
Sure.
If you're in a really liberal city and you're like, I happen to be pro-life, it is what it, like, yeah, you can think what you want to think. Yeah, you do you. Having, like, just straight up racism that you're spewing, like, I don't think that you want to be like, well, free speech. Like, it's just a weird thing to get on your,
I like when they self-identify, though. I really do.
Yeah.
It's so easy to spot all the goofballs that went sideways over a Bud Light can.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to have them out of my life.
That was
but
a weird
I would
choice.
Be
so easy.
I would be fine to discourse and debate a racist. I'm fine with that. What I'm not okay with is just having a megaphone racist right in my face.
Yes.
And that's what I get with Twitter. There is no discourse, there is no debate, there is no discussion. It's basically a billboard. It's an open blank billboard on the side of the highway for racism. And that, I think, is the fundamental problem with Twitter and why it will never make any money, because Disney does not want to advertise next to race realism posts from 1984.
They just don't. I still can't believe that.
And so when Elon Musk is like crying and whining about the fact that people don't want to advertise on his platform, and he goes, I'm just trying to make the world a better place, you have to then ask yourself, like, okay, so you're going to be doing that. That's on your dollar then, right? That's not on. And now he's doing this thing where you have to subscribe to see certain tweets.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to subscribe. I don't want, pardon me. I don't want to subscribe to Donald Trump to have to see his tweets, right? I just don't want to have to do it. So I'm just not interested in it.
No, I think Twitter is much worse off.
Stacey, anything in sports before we got to get out of here? Anything you're excited about?
Oh, the Mariners are looking to get two games above 500 for the very first time this season, and they are playing a very bad team tonight, so they have a chance to do that. So with a win, it is the best record they've had all season.
I like this.
That's positive. That's positive.
I like your enthusiasm.
Hey,
and we
know what?
Enjoy you.
If you've had an F in your class, sometimes a D+ feels good. You know, sometimes a C- is progress.
Are you staying home for the holiday weekend? Or are you traveling?
I'm staying home. No, my birthday is next weekend, so we're going out to dinner this weekend here.
Well, early happy birthday! And
thank you. Oh, don't worry.
Weekend.
I'll be next Thursday, the day after, when you guys can tell me happy birthday.
Super.
Stacey, I did not get my invitation in the mail yet.
Oh, I told Bumpus to invite you. That's so weird that he didn't reach out and tell you.
I thought, because I have my Stacey balloons and I have my. I took my Prius and I got it wrapped with Stacey.
Perfect.
And so I'm all geared up for the
party.
No,
it's in the mail. It's in the mail.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
all
don't worry about it.
All right. So normally we like to play a little cringer based here. Spike, I'm going to do just really quick about the whole debt limit thing.
Sure.
About the week. I think that people need to understand that I have a hard time articulating this, Spike, so you're just going to, before we get into salmon hot dogs and whatnot, I think people need to understand the politicians are they work at the behest of the people who donate to their political parties. So these corporations that make a ton of money off of American debt or whatever it might be, they will not allow the United States to not go and they go into default, right? It's
right.
Just not going to happen.
They won't permit it. Let alone the politicians have really no say. It's the donors,
right? So when Kevin McCarthy is saying like we're going to get a deal, and when Joe Biden says we're going to get a deal, I guarantee you they already have it. This is all big theater. This is all a big charade. And so when it happens every single time. And so when we do this thing where we go, oh man, it's going to be a government shutdown. Every single time, I think that people need to realize that the Kevin McCarthy, Joe Biden, any of these individuals, even Mitch McConnell, they are getting pressure from corporate donors. It's not internal party pressure to get this done. It's the people who give money, right? Because if your job is to keep the government functioning, and I pay you because you give me subsidies for my business, or I get sweet tax breaks from you, or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden I don't get to, all of a sudden the banks are failing and I pay you to ensure that that doesn't happen. You know, understand that their jobs are on the line. Their funding is on the line at this point in time. And so when we do this thing, we're like, are they going to reach a deal or they're not going to reach a deal? I would say with 99% accuracy that they're going to reach a deal. And if they don't, they'll reach it within like 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah, because I've been seeing all the fear mongering.
It's just like, everybody's like, oh, what are we going to do? And it's like, okay, well, you think they're just going to be indefinite or whatever? They do this every time. It's big theater. It's a charade. It's, to me, it's just like, come on, you guys. All right, so salmon hot dogs, Spike. So what's the deal with this? Cringer based food that should not exist. You were telling me that you went to go get food and you saw salmon hot dogs?
Yes, well, there's a really good fish market in one of those high-end grocer chains. You know the type. I mean, it's like...
Which one?
It's Whole Foods. I'll just say.
Yeah, I go there every day.
Yeah, I mean, and they have a great fresh seafood counter. I mean, they really. Yeah, that's where I do my other. I do my regular grocery day to day grocery shopping at a more economic store. I don't mind a can of generic beans. You know, I can eat generic beans with the best guy. But when it comes to fresh seafood, I like the guys who know what they're doing and know how to fillet a fish, know how to keep the bones
Spike,
out.
We can just admit we're wealthy people. We spend a lot of money at Whole Foods. Come on, buddy. I got money. You got money.
My pinto beans, organically sourced.
Right.
You know, free range organic beans, pinto beans.
Oh. Matt Butler doesn't have any money. Andrew doesn't have any money. I got money. So when I got money...
Speak for yourself. I was chauffeured in this morning.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That was your
I don't understand why people do this thing where they're like, oh, I shop at Whole Foods. I'm a bad person. It's like, what difference does it make? I go to Whole Foods. Sometimes I go to Safeway. Sometimes, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, same here. When I need a gallon of milk, I don't need it to be, you know, I'm silk gloved on the teats of the cow. I don't need that. I just need a gallon of milk.
But wait, hold on. Andrew, is it cringe that I shop at Whole Foods? Is this cringe or is this based?
Nah, in Seattle, it's kind of a toss up. I mean, you kind of get it. You know, you want that top shelf good stuff. And Whole Foods has got that for you. Yeah. I can respect that.
There's a pastrami they cut there at the fresh. Oh, it's the best. The best.
I just can't get enough of it. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry.
So I'm in there for a piece of halibut, right? And yeah. I look over at the frozen seafood section, which is right next to the fresh case. And I look over and I see this sign that says salmon hot dogs. And my head tips, you know, like when a dog looks at you like you've just done something stupid. A dog tip. My neck cocked to the side. I'm like, oh. Yeah. I walk over and look at this thing, and it's, yeah, I didn't read that wrong. Salmon hot dogs. And so I go up to the kid at the fish counter, who I've been working with for a couple of years now, a smart kid. I said, what is this? I said, he said, something new. It's from Norway. I said, is it? Now I know how hot dogs are made. What part of the pig goes into a hot dog? He's like, yeah, mm-hmm. You're exactly right. It's that part of the salmon. It's everything that you don't want over here in this fresh counter from a salmon. They process it and put it in tubes. I'm like, well, why would you? He's like, you know what they're for? He said, they're for people who are pescatarians, but always wanted to try a hot dog.
Yes. Yeah. And then you lowered your monocle and you.
I said, really? I thought the intention of becoming a pescatarian was so you never had to eat a hot dog.
It's proof you guys aren't wealthy that no one is doing your shopping for you.
Oh, telltale.
You mean to tell me
there
are people out there that only eat fish? Is this a thing? I've only consumed beef. A nice foie gras. It's delicious with my opium pipe.
This is up there with tofurkey, you know?
Yeah.
When
yeah,
you shape I mean, your tofu into the shape of things you wish you would eat or could eat. I mean, I get dietary restrictions, but...
I called Spike the other day after the show, and because we were joking around about something, and I go, what are you doing, Spike? And he says, I'm making this salad, and you start listing off the ingredients like you're Rachel Ray.
Yeah.
And then you go, and I've got tofu, and I landed on that for 3 minutes. I just berated Spike. I said, Spike, get some chicken, throw that tofu away, and go get some real food. Andrew, is there food out there that you think should not exist? Is there food out there that you think should not be a thing?
I'm a big, I don't like the Beyond Beef or the Beyond Meats. That stuff is disgusting to me because it's just seed oils.
Yeah.
It's coming though, buddy.
Byproduct.
It's coming.
This is very base, though. Beyond Meat, Impossible Burgers are gross.
They are.
I'm not into it. Matt, is there a food out there that you think should not exist?
Hard to say. I'm pretty omnivorous. I'll eat a lot of stuff. I would actually probably be the one person in this room who would try that salmon hot dog.
Okay.
Now, you're from the South originally?
Yes, originally.
So have you seen a big jar of pig feet
on a counter? Found appealing and never tried, but I've seen them. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. They're all over the place down there,
pickled,
but not appealing to me at all.
The one thing that I never thought that I would like was eel. I never thought that I would like unagi. And then, you know, when you're in a Filipino family, you're eating all kinds of stuff that you never thought you were going to eat. And I've got to tell you that some of the best food on God's green earth is food that I never thought that I would put in my mouth. Right? Like roasted eel, fertilized eggs, blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The egg.
Man. I got to tell you, you look at it and you go, is this thing did this thing burst out of somebody's chest? Is that how we? Oh,
my. You got to catch it when it jumps, though. You got to get it fresh.
Right. And then you try it and it's delicious. I am a libertarian on a great number of issues, meaning that I think as long as people aren't harming other people or being abrasive with other people, I don't really care what they do, right?
Why not?
I don't care
if
you're not damaging personal property, you're not, you know, accosting other people. I'm fine with that. I don't really care. But sometimes, Spike, my belief in this gets challenged. My belief in this tenet, this idea, this nostrum that we could have a society which leaves each other alone. Sometimes this gets challenged, and it most often gets challenged when I read about stories from Florida, but then also when I read about stories about people who maybe had a little bit too much of grandpa's old cough medicine, and then they end up doing something foolish. Okay. So this story is about a man who was in Port Charlotte, and he got drunk outside of Bandito's Bar, which is a nice name for a bar. And he's blackout drunk, and he fell into a pond behind the bar, and an alligator bit off his right arm in the process. We have a little bit from this guy. He's 23 years old, Jordan Rivera. And here is what this sounded like from Jordan in the hospital. He's recovering currently. Here's what that sounded like.
I didn't lose my life, lost an arm. It's not the end of the world.
An alligator attacked Jordan early Sunday morning, biting off his right arm and nearly taking his life.
They got my elbow, so I don't have an elbow, but I can still move my arm around and whatnot.
Jordan doesn't remember much of what happened. What he does recall is that the bar he was at, Bandito's in Port Charlotte, was busy and the bathroom line was long, so he walked to the pond out back.
I just saw a little lake. Trying to go over there and just, you know, take a little pee or whatnot. Something happened where I either tripped or, like, something, the ground below me kind of just went down. And I ended up in the water, and that's literally the last thing I remember.
The next time he opened his eyes, he was here, in the hospital. It's then he found out that the gator ate his arm.
Confusion, I was like, whoa, like, I was just, because I woke up, and I was just sitting there, and I looked over, and then I saw my arm the way it was, and I was like, ooh. He kind of just looked like my arm just there, but not there.
If you think this story is wild, you're not the only one. Try telling it to the guy who's living through it, but remembers nothing.
It was just the craziest thing. It was like almost like out of a movie.
I love this guy.
I don't. I think this is bad.
Oh, no. I'm sure I can learn to go left-handed. No big deal.
I mean, bro, it was crazy. I fell asleep.
Weirdest thing. No arm in the fridge. Oh, wow.
This is the most bro-y of bro. And also, no offense, guy, but it's not cool, right? You almost lost your life because you were wasted and you got blackout drunk and you fell into a pond. So what I'm saying is, Spike, is that I, for as much as I want to be libertarian on a great number of things, alcohol just seems like it is the worst drug for people to do. It is the worst substance for people to put in their bodies. And sometimes I think to myself, maybe we should just go back to the temperance movement. Maybe we should just ban it. Because clearly there are people out there that cannot handle it. The vast majority of, I mean, look at DUIs, look at Christmas parties. Look at office parties. Anytime you mix booze and human beings, somebody ends up crying. Somebody ends up losing an arm to an alligator. It to me is, it is such an awful substance that people, and so, but here's the thing. At the same time, I understand that some people, they just want to do a little Don Draper. They want to go out. They want to have an old fashioned or two.
Sure.
And
sure.
Live their life. I got no problem with that whatsoever. But then the vast majority of people drink so that they can numb the pain that is existence, and then they end up falling into a pond and losing their arm to an alligator. this is my kind of thing about this spike. Like, I think that if we had other substances, people probably wouldn't drink so much. But unfortunately, we live in a society that loves to drink, and it just nothing good comes from it, man. Have you ever had that experience where you've got a friend of yours, normal human being, and then they have a little bit too many Jack and Cokes, and you realize, oh, this guy's like really anti-Semitic. So, you know, it happens, right? People,
sure.
The worst parts of themselves are just burst whenever they have one too many Rolling Rocks, and then all of a sudden they're telling you about their true feelings about their cousin.
It's funny you mentioned Rolling Rock. I was born and raised in the Atlantic region where Rolling Rock, you know, from the fine glass-lined casks of old Latrobe, Pennsylvania, where we tender this. I know the Rolling Rock 33. But alcohol is a magnifying glass. Nice people are nice drunks. Mean people are mean drunks. Anti-Semitics are anti-Semitic drunks. I think you're right. It brings out our true self.
I don't think so. I think it brings out a piece of somebody. I think it brings out the id in a human being. It brings out the raw, unfiltered version of somebody, which is not emblematic or representative of who they really are.
I'm Irish. I was raised by bar owners. I spent more time behind a bar in my life than I've spent in front of a bar in my life. I've seen drunks from every walk of life and every state of drunk. I've seen guys refight World War II at the bar. You know, I mean, I've seen young and dumbs get younger and dumber with every drink. I think it brings out nice people are nice drunks. I don't think everybody who gets drunk turns into a monster. Some people turn into a cuddle monster. Some people turn into a big kisser. I mean, some people, you know. Here's what I think, though. I don't think we need to outlaw drinking. I think we need to outlaw public urination in Florida. We already did. I mean, you live in the gator capital of the world. There's a pond every 28 feet, and you're going to stumble out to pee in the woods or in the next to the swamp because the line was too long at the bathroom. I mean, sometimes God says, you know what? Somebody needs to learn a little lesson here. Yeah. It's time for a friend to lose an arm.
I don't know. I used to drink. There was a great beer that I used to drink called called Brother Thelonious. It was a beer from North Shore Brewing Company.
Brother Thelonious, okay.
Yeah, it was based on Thelonious Monk.
Sure. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So this beer, I think it's like 8.2% or something like that. Right. And I used to drink it religiously, so much so that the bar that I frequented, the guy went from having bottles of it to he bought the...
He put it on tap for you?
He put it on tap for me.
Oh, that's love. That's just love.
Right. So I used to drink this stuff by the gallon, my friend. And I can tell you that there was many an afternoon, evening where I was on my fifth or sixth Brother Thelonious. And I'm not a violent person. I'm not an angry person. I'm not a terribly happy person. I'm not a terribly sad person. But I would go through all these different phases of emotion. Do you know what I mean? And when people say, well, it amplifies your true character. My true character is to be, pretty much like a pretty laid back guy, fairly neurotic, who suffers from crippling depression on a daily basis, who loves cats and muffins. Right. And then you could get a couple drinks in me and I'll swing back and forth from being John Wayne in Sands of Iwo Jima. Then, you know, swinging back over in the opposite direction to, Henry Fonda in On Golden Pond.
And you always second shot. I love you.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, just like swinging in all these crazy directions. It didn't bring out the truth in me. It probably brought out the worst aspects of my personality. So,
you know,
Henry Fonda reference for the day.
I don't drink anymore, but once in a while I'll have a beer. I don't drink by nature. I don't drink. But I would love a Brother Thelonious. It's a Belgian ale. This looks great.
It's a fantastic. Ooh. For when Jack Stein was a drinker, that was Jack Stein's drink of choice. Other than a good old fashioned.